All right. Good enough. All right, we're still going over. Well, we've gone over a review of the book of Proverbs, or at least over the writer, and we are on the going through the different chapters, and I'm picking out a verse or two that are the little gems. Everybody, you know, everybody's got their own special verses, don't they? You know, they do. I think Pastor Anchors was once Jeremiah 33 something or other, 33:3. And I don't know what yours is. I don't think you've ever said that you had a favorite. But everybody's got a favorite. And some of these are, well, some of these are my favorites over the years going through this. And the first three chapters, though, are hard to pick a favorite verse out of that, because they all set the groundwork for the book of Proverbs. And if you ask me, they set the groundwork for Christianity, the way a Christian behaves, the way a Christian acts, the way a Christian thinks and feels, even emotionally, how we should react to things. Okay? And that's a hard thing, because in this day and age, it's all about emotions. It doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. If it feels good, do it. That was the phrase when I grew up in the 60s and early 70s. If it feels good, do it. Then they brought out the phrase, oh, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. Well, the problem is when you feel good and do it, in my case, back then, before I was saved, it would have hurt somebody else. Okay, I almost choked out a guy in high school because it felt good. It did. I was lifting weights, and I was strong, and one of the strongest guys in school, and had this guy in a head hold, and yeah, he was choking pretty good. And finally, a couple other guys decided to interfere and get me off him, and oh man, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. Well, at the moment, in the fight, it felt good. So, you know, this feel good, do it. You can't really go by that. And in the Bible says that if it feels good, don't do it. Because we know that our emotions take us away from the Spirit, don't they? Okay. When we get caught up in our emotions and we react instead of responding, and we react to every situation, man, next thing we know, we're doing something that we regret. In the heat of an argument, a husband and wife will argue and say things they don't mean, but in reality, it's truly on their heart. Okay? But without control, they say things and it just causes problems. Okay? Our emotions get us into trouble a lot more than anything else. Okay? Because, like I said, we have with emotions, we have a tendency to react rather than respond. Respond with thought. And that's what the book of Proverbs teaches us. And it's not that we, once we're saved, we're supposed to be emotionless. No, we're supposed to be compassionate. Not just passionate about things, but compassionate. With passion for others. With passion for the Word of God. With passion to do things that would help other people. Not being self-absorbed into our own problems. Our emotions lead us to be self-absorbed. Okay? This is a... This is not an empirical example backed up by fact and stuff, but you can look out on this society and you wonder why. Well, you made the comment, it's hard to find people to work. Why? Because people don't want to work. In reality, work is an assignment by God. By the sweat of your brow, you're going to earn your bread. You have to work if you want to eat. Paul tells the church in the New Testament, yeah, man that doesn't work, don't let him eat, don't feed him. And it's like, wow. But this day and age, because of emotions, feel good stuff, we gotta help the poor, we gotta do this and stuff. And Jesus says, the poor you're gonna have with you always. You have every opportunity to help the poor rightly, correctly, in the eyes of God. Book of Proverbs teaches how to take our emotions and to incorporate them spiritually and with the mind. Remember, we are a three-person being. We are a triune being just like God. We are created in His image. Okay? We have the flesh, we have the mind, and we have the spirit. The mind is also the will. It's the battleground where things are done. It's amazing, though, that we look in the Old Testament and we see this. The Old Testament, we often feel and look at it as being a set of rules of do's and don'ts. More don'ts than do's. Okay? However, then we miss, if that's all we do, if we look, take that simplistic of a view, we miss the entire scope of the Bible. Remember, the entire scope, Old Testament, New Testament, runs together. Teaches the same theme, the same doctrines, the same principles, the same, you know, precepts. Everything is the same, Old Testament, New Testament. New Testament does not contradict the Old Testament. Old Testament does not contradict the New Testament. Okay? It's all the same. The grace of God, the forgiveness of God, the love of God is there in the Old Testament. But we just oftentimes don't look for it. And that's why I enjoy the book of Proverbs. Hopefully I'm able to get that across, that when I teach, it's not just, you know, me up there speaking for my own edification, you know, just to hear my voice. The older I get, the more I hear my voice only out of one ear. The other ear is kind of, get worky guy, I can't hear you. So here we are, chapter 3. We started chapter 3. We got down to verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. No, we got in verse 4. We're in the verse 5, trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on thy own understanding. Okay. Again, our understanding a lot of times is based on our emotions and the way we feel about things. Right? I love my wife. I do. It's more than just feelings. I do have feelings for my wife. I have an affinity for her. She is elevated in my eyes above all other women on the face of this earth. Okay? But if I were to base our relationship only on a love rather than everything else that is included with that, okay. Love, I'm talking about like brotherly love or things like that, where it's just a matter of I love her only because she does stuff for me. That's not right. Okay. That's where our emotions get us. Okay. It's that sacrificial love that ruled by the mind and the spirit that we do things. Okay. That we have this thing. And trust in the Lord with all thy heart. It is with the heart of your emotions, but it's also with your mind and your spirit, with everything you got. Trust in the Lord. Trust. Yeah, it trust. There's a hard definition for trust. It's having confidence in, having faith in, and stuff like that. But sometimes we have a problem with trusting, don't we? I mean, yeah, we just got a problem trusting, put our trust in somebody else, that they would do what they say, or, you know, that I can trust them with a secret. I have secrets that I don't trust anybody with. Okay? You will never know them, you know, in general. There are some that my wife will never know. Why? Because it's not, well, yeah, it is a matter of trust. Okay? It's things that I will not say because I don't trust people. Okay? One time I was called a cynic. I was accused, you're a cynic. No, I'm not. I just don't think everybody's as honest as I am. That's a joke. But it's like, you know, you don't trust people. And I don't know how many pastors I've heard when they have a bad situation in church, I will never get into that situation again. Okay? It leads them to be distrustful. They are done as a pastor. Okay? All the ones I know that have ever said that, they're no longer pastoring. Okay? Why? Because their trust was put in the wrong thing. It was put in people. Okay? And I'm not saying you're not trustworthy, okay? Or not worthy of trust. It's just that sometimes we put our trust in the wrong things. There's a lot of people, even Christians these days, that put their trust in the government. Their faith, their confidence, the way they live their life, it's on the government. There's a lot more lost people that put their faith in the government that, man, it should not be, because the government will fail you. How do we know this? Government has a track record of failing people. Hurricane Katrina. This comes out in the forefront of my mind. People put their faith and trust in the government. And what happened? Government of the state of Louisiana let them down. The government, United States government, let them down. Okay? They were saying, well, there's all these FEMA trailers here people can move into. Well, apparently they weren't taken to the people. Okay, the people were shoved into this into the stadium down there, and you had 80,000-90,000 people shoved into a little area. It's like there was problems. Okay, there was a bunch of stuff. People look for the government. There are certain areas down there that are still a wreck. It looks like a war zone down there when you go in those neighborhoods, because the government hasn't fulfilled what they said they do, and people trusted the government. And yet, in the first week after the storm passed, there were areas, counties, and little towns that got together and helped each other there first. Guys donated their equipment. Other people brought gas and the stuff to maintain that equipment. Okay, mechanics worked on the equipment if it broke down, so that way they could get their town operable again. So that way their neighborhood could be clean. Everybody was out helping everybody else. There's stories like that. Why? Because if you listen to some of them, that's the Christian thing to do. That is the Christ-like thing to do, to help your neighbor. Okay? That goes back to the second commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? Paul put it a different way. Have more respect for other people in the church than yourself. It's like, wow, these guys took hold of that. They didn't trust in the neighbor. They trusted in God. We'll get this done. Okay. And these guys, the neighborhoods were clean within a couple of months. You know, of all the storm stuff, houses were rebuilt or starting to be rebuilt. There was not the loss because they didn't rely on somebody else. They relied on God and themselves to get it done. Their trust was in the right neighborhood. The trust was in the right people. Trust in the Lord. Put all your confidence in the Lord. And how can we do that? Well, we think of God as some ethereal being out there we cannot touch, see, or get a hold of. But that's not true. New Testament says He is nigh unto you, very close to you, even when you're lost. Trust in the Lord. And remember when you were saved? When you got saved? When you accepted the Lord? When you got saved. Okay, I don't know. I'm almost getting tired of that phrase, when you got saved. Okay, because you don't get saved. It's not like it's a choice on your part. The only choice you have is that when you're motivated by the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit touches you, you either accept or reject. I accepted the Lord. I received the promise of the Father. I received Him into my heart. Remember when you got saved? Did you trust God then? Man, that was hard to do. Because I remember sitting down, kneeling down at the altar. It's like, I was on the right side. And just, it was hard. God, I don't know what to do. You know, my friend of mine was there, and he was trying to teach me, tell me the words to say. But it's like, back right then, that didn't make any sense. It's like, no, God, I don't know. How can I trust you? You step out. And you know, the faith didn't come from me, it comes from God. And it's like, wow, that trust. And you know something? God's still there. Even after almost 40-some-odd years, over 40-some-odd years, God is still there. Why do I find it hard sometimes still to trust Him? I don't know. The arm of flesh will fail you, the Bible tells us. And it's true. The older I get, the more these arms fail me. It's like, oh, man. Pastor's talking about his right arm here. It's like, your body fails you, doesn't it? It's like, man, I used to be, and now I'm just like, oh, I feel old. I used to be 6 foot. The other day, they measured me at the doctor's office. I'm 5'10", a little over 5'10". It's like, what happened there? Well, your spine is compressed. And they pointed out some things. Yeah, you got a bunch of stuff there. You have degenerative disc disease. Okay, so I feel old. Okay, us older people, how many of us wish we listened to our elders when we were younger and didn't do half the things that we did? It's like, you need to listen to us when we say, hey, don't do that because you're going to wind up like us. And right now you're saying, no, I'm never going to wind up like you guys. But it's true. The arm of flesh with this body will give up on you. We trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord. With all your heart. This morning, you didn't think about it, but you trusted this pew to hold up when you sat on it, right? You ever see the kids, they come in and they just flop on the thing. I remember when I got bigger in high school, I used to come in and flop on the couch. My mom said, don't do that, you'll break the couch. It's like, wow. And it's time for us to get a stronger couch, Mom. No, I didn't say that. I didn't sass my mom. She taught me when I was this big not to sass my mom, and I didn't. Even when my mom was that short to me, it was like, you know, you're short, Mom, but her hands were bigger than mine. It comes from picking tobacco when she was kids, and then her job then has always been in some sort of physical job. It's like, man, her hands were bigger than mine. It's like, wow. Didn't sass my mom. But anyway, trust in the Lord. You trusted in this chair. You trusted in this pew implicitly. You trusted in that chair up there. I had to be careful because if you sit wrong, it'll slide on you. But you trusted to hold your weight. You get out in the morning and you turn the key in your car, you expect it to start, right? Had a car, didn't do that this week. It's like, I don't trust that car anymore. I fixed it, though. Battery connections were corroded, and so I cleaned them off and did some things to them. And I got new stuff I've got to put in there, but, you know. Trust in the Lord when you're saved has already been earned. It's already been demonstrated because you trusted salvation and you received the Holy Spirit and things were different. Things were like extremely different. The words that came out of my mouth automatically, did I say that? Yes, I did. And you shouldn't say that. Something back here said you shouldn't say that. Things I did, it's like, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. It's the Holy Spirit. Things were different, weren't they? It's like, wow. And if you found yourself being safe and comforted and feeling whole back then for trust, today would be no different. Trust in the Lord. Have your complete confidence and with all your heart. With everything that is about you, you put your effort into trusting God. It is an effort to trust God, isn't it? It's an effort to trust people and then to keep your trust in people. Because I know people that had put their trust in people and the people failed them. Sometimes I think their expectations were too high, but that's beside the point. And they trusted them and they let them down. And they feel justified not putting their heart into them anymore. That's how pastors, with my opinion, who will not allow themselves to get, quote-unquote, into that situation again, is they do not put their heart into any other situation ever again. People, when they find themselves in a situation and they get stabbed in the back, they don't put their heart out like they should. They don't put their effort into this relationship. They don't do what they ought to do on their end. It's funny, because when you talk about loving the Lord and, you know, doing good to others and stuff like that, there are some people that say, well, nobody does good to me. Nobody shows me love. I've had people in this thing say, well, nobody called me when I was sick. Yes, people called you when you're sick. I called you when you were sick. Have you ever called me? I said that to them. It's like, should I have said that? Yeah. Because I had been sick like a week or so before. You didn't call me. Some people are still self-absorbed with this thing. Because when you talk about loving people and then, you know, helping them out and stuff like this, people say, well, you need to help me. There was a guy here at one time. He had money issues. So we got talking about some things, and he made like three times more than I did, twice at least as much as I do, as we do now in his retirement. I said, what are you doing with the money? Don't come beg me for money again. Because you have enough. You have more than I do. And I'm working my butt off for it. It's like, whoa. First time I heard that, I was like, you're kidding me. And then he says, well, I don't pay taxes on it either because it's retirement with something or other with the federal government. He doesn't pay income tax off of that. How do you get away to not pay? Anyway, but it's still one of those things. His trust wasn't in God. His trust was in begging other people. And when they didn't follow through, he didn't like them. It's like, you're kidding me. His trust was in the government. His trust was not in God. With all your heart, with all your effort, with all your strength, with all your being, put your effort into it. Yeah, it does take effort to trust God. Even after all these years and times, it's like, you know, God, I got to get up and... No, you don't. Just trust me. Trust me. Just sit there. Trust me. Now I end up, you know, like sitting on my hands like a kid, you know, waiting for church to be over or school to be over. I remember as a kid, we had a dry season and a wet season in L.A. The dry season was hot, too, humid. And it's like, man, that was it. That was from spring until fall. And then fall to spring was wet. That was our rainy season. It's like, wow. Nothing like rainy in the south, but we still had some water. And it's like, man, I remember the first sunny day, truly sunny day at the end of winter and beginning of fall or beginning of spring. And it's like, wow, I want to be out there. I was smart enough to get a seat by the window. I want to be out there. Out, out, out. Oh, we got to go through what? First recess and then lunch and then recess and then we get dismissed. That's like 4 hours from now. Come on, man. I got to go out now. You have that anxiousness to go out. It's like, wow. I did not put my effort in class at school. But yeah, trusting in God is hard. It's tough. It requires all of our heart. We wind up putting our heart in different things. I know some Christians, quote unquote Christians, who put their heart and soul into campaigning for political people. I know Christians who put their heart and soul into their work. Oh, I'm not going to be at church Sunday because I got a work thing to do. Well, you volunteered for that, right? Yeah. It's not like being a nurse. Nurses, 24/7, 365 a day. Job, man. It's like, you're kidding me. So I spent Thanksgiving alone. It's okay. I was fine with it. It's like, you know, some jobs are more of a calling, and you do have to be there. Kind of like a midwife. Midwife in the Old Testament was exempted from following the law of, you know, not doing anything on the Sabbath. Pregnant ladies were actually okay with, you know, laboring on the Sabbath. It's like, wow, you mean they didn't get condemned by God or anybody? And nobody threw, no, they were okay. But it's a matter of, you put all your trust in your faith in God rather than yourself, rather than your government, rather than your job, rather than anything else you could think of. My wife and I, we have told each other, in no uncertain terms, we love the Lord first. First time she told me that, it's like, what? No, what? It's kind of like when I ask her to marry me, she says, sure, if nothing else better comes along. I said, okay. But I was vain enough back then, well, nothing else better is going to come along, man. I'm it. And then I made sure, you know, I kind of circled around, I said, made sure nothing else came along. It's like, yeah. But, you know, trust in the Lord first with all your heart. With the very fiber of your being. And it's hard to do. That's how he says, with all your heart, with all your effort, with all your strength. Trust in God first. And that's hard to do. Because we're so used to doing things on our own. My mom had a saying, well, if I don't do it, it ain't going to get done. Oh, come on, Mom. that's not a good thing to say. Yeah, but it's true. People in church, if I don't do it, it doesn't get done. I don't know. Trust God and let him do it. See what God will do. Oh, it sounds great to say, doesn't it? Let go and let God. Oh, man, it's just that sounds great, doesn't it? There's a little thing. Good morning, I am God. I am God. I will not need your help today. It's like, yeah, it's tough to do sometimes. It's like, man, I want to help. I'm going to put my fingers in there. No. Why? Because we don't have the strength. We don't have the capability. We don't have the patience. We don't have the long-suffering. We don't have the love that we should have sometimes. And if we're that way with other people, we need to back off and let God take care of the situation. Let go and let God. That's true. I am a problem solver. Really am. My wife and I for years had plenty of arguments, but most of the arguments were my fault because she would tell me about situations at work with friends and stuff like that, and I work hard. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to do, you know, this is what you need to do. Finally, she says, no, all I need for you is listen. That was hard. It still is hard. I'm better at it, aren't I? I'm 100% better at that, man, because it's like she'll start saying something, and I go, and then I'll pray for her. But God will give her the things. Sometimes it's hard. God, work on her life quicker. Get the situation over with. No, something's got to work themselves out. And God doesn't need us meddling. He just needs us to put our heart and trust into him that he'll get it figured out. Actually, God already has it figured out. But that he'll let us figure it out and say, oh, I see what you did. And then let God. Trust in your heart with all your understanding. Lean not into thine own understanding. The older I get, the more I understand that I know nothing. Okay? The older I get, the more I understand. My understanding of the world is just sometimes wrong. You look out in this day and age, and man, my understanding of this world is I look around and say, I don't understand it, God, because I thought I had it wired. I thought I had it figured out. But it just seems things get worse and worse. I mean, I understand sin. I understand the effects of sin in the world and when people let sin rule their heart and their mind. But some things, it's like, are you doing this to your own detriment? Why? Like drug abuse. Alcohol abuse. Okay? All it takes is one drink and you're killing brain cells. You're also killing kidney cells, liver cells. You're also killing the stomach lining. Yeah, Brother Ben reminded me of my dad in the late 60s, mid-60s, had half his stomach removed because of his drinking. His alcoholism, the hard liquor, ate away half his stomach. So they had to go in and take half of it. And he was just a different person from then on. Not different in a good way. He was surly. He was angry. But it's like, you know, why did you do this to your own detriment? You know, why do you continue drinking alcohol, Dad, even though it caused the situation you're in? He was a diabetic. The alcoholism made it worse. And his feet started to rot. Okay. It also eventually killed him because he had a renal shutdown. That's where your kidneys and everything just shut down and your body dies. It's a terrible way to die. But Dad, if only you'd stopped way back then, we could have more time together. He died at a time when I was starting to realize the value of my parents and their knowledge and their opinion. You guys remember that? When you're probably not there yet. Or maybe you're there before I was. But you remember coming to that age when you reached the age you realize, hey, my parents actually knew something. My daughter, I'm going to tell on her because you told me this, and it's not a private, well, it was. My daughter, getting up and seeing people, meeting people, finally told my wife the other day that she was glad to have us as parents. She understood the things we did were for her benefit. She says, well, I'm glad you guys were the way you were, even though back then she may not have appreciated it. And my first thing in my mind was, well, it took her long enough. It's like, when? Bible tells you that if you do good to your kids, teach them right when they're young. When they're old, they'll not depart from it, but they'll come back and say, blessed is my mom and dad. We haven't got to that part in the book of Proverbs. But it's like, yeah, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not into your own understanding, because we don't understand as much as we think we do. We don't. I transport people. They're on oxygen. If they don't have this oxygen thing, and they look at their little tank, and I'm taking them home, I only got 5 minutes left of oxygen. I better get home quick. Because if they don't have oxygen, they can die. And then I look, and they got two other tanks, and those are empty. They didn't bother refilling them. Oh, and then even though they're short of oxygen, they will go up to their front door, not go inside to get more oxygen, go sit on the chair they have there and have a cigarette before they go inside. Yeah, I don't understand it. It's not up to me to understand it. It's like, oh yeah, that's the way they are. In my mind, I know that's because of sin in the world and the effects of sin on people's thinking. But if we try to understand it, sometimes we just get frustrated, especially when it's somebody we love. Lean not to your own understanding. And it goes back to the first one. Trust God with it. That way you don't have to understand every single thing that happens. You can just accept God. This has got to be within your will, your plan. This has got to be within your thing. And some of it's like, you know, just the effects of sin in the world. Okay. It's the consequence of sin. Sowing and reaping. Anybody remember that? Sowing and reaping. And that if we just let it go, God will take care of the situation ultimately. Perhaps not to our expectation. But like I said, I think sometimes we have a higher expectation than we ought to have. Okay. Lean not into your own understanding. Lean. You ever see people with crutches? People with one crutch? When I was lost, I always thought about going up and people with crutches, kicking the crutch out, watch them fall down. Yeah. You watch people on the ice and they got this thing going and you know. That's the idea of lean not to your understanding. That's where you trust in, is your crutches, is those things that are easily displaced. I leaned to my own walking the other day. And I slipped and fell. Still a little sore from that, but I'm back to work. It's like, I thought I had good footing. I trusted in my footing. Okay. Slipped on some ice. And it's like, first thing somebody, well, do you have ice truckers? Yes, they were in the van. They were attached where I knew where they were. I could get them and put them on, but I didn't. And it's like, you know, I leaned on my own footing, and then all of a sudden, I was at Rosar's once in Coeur d'Alene when they had the restaurant, when there was a Rosar's there. It was right in the corner of Appleway and 95. There was a Rosar's there. They had a restaurant. They had a burger. They served up a burger that big. Oh, it was... But we were there for a men's meeting. I sat in one of the chairs, and I was on the ground immediately. Their chairs were the metal chairs that have the legs, or the legs on the floor come up like this and underneath the seat, so there's nothing supporting in the back. And I'm a heavier guy. I admit that. I'm a heavier guy. Yeah. But it didn't go bam. It just, I sat in it and to the ground. It's like, whoa, slow motion. And I got up, looked around, because I was embarrassed. I shouldn't be embarrassed. Their chair broke on me. But I leaned into that chair. I trusted that chair. Chairs anymore, I actually make sure will hold me. These I trust. I mean, look at the, they're thick and they're heavy duty. They're meaty. You ever look at that beam that's underneath there that runs up? It's pretty good. It's a pretty good thing. But by now, we should have enough experience with leaning to our own understanding that it doesn't work out most of the time. And we should know to trust God. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And I, oh, wait a minute. I got 4 minutes because that's 4 minutes slow. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Do you think that means everything? All. How about that three letter? Does that mean everything? I mean, what does it mean? It means everything. It means all. It means all-encompassing. It means everything that you could possibly think of to all utter extents. When I was taking programming in school, you have all these things for all these conditions, if, ands, thens, whats, whatevers, that you have to allow for in the programming. Otherwise, if you didn't allow for it and you hit the, somebody hit the wrong key, it would just go in an endless loop and destroy your program. Computer would be locked up, and you have to turn off the computer and turn it back on. So I wrote this thing. I thought I covered everything. I wrote it down. That's when we had to write things down before you actually typed it in. And the instructor looked at it. Go ahead. And so I typed it in and everything. And he was doing the thing on it. And he hit one key and it looped up, locked up the computer. What did you do? I hit this key over here. Well, you're not supposed to. Well, I hadn't allowed for that key. You know, I mean, you could allow for all the keys and then put in a word, put in a phrase, you know, all other keys do this. I didn't have that. And so it locked up the computer. You start pressing all the buttons. Come on, it's got to work. No, it's not going to work. It's locked up. Turn it off. Turn it back on. And back then, they didn't have hard drives in those computers. You had the disks. So you had to put in the boot disk, let it boot up, and it took about a half hour. They were fast. I remember when they first became fast and it took you 10 minutes for it to boot up instead of a half hour. And it's like, you know, I don't know everything that I think I know. In all your ways, acknowledge God. Sometimes we think that we're, acknowledge him. Sometimes we think we're doing okay. I got things wired. I got things figured out, don't we? It's like, wow. And then all of a sudden something comes along and, well, I didn't plan for that. There's been advice since I was a young man. Oh, put away for an emergency fund. Cash on hand, not wrapped up in a CD or anything, which takes, you know, some of them, what, 6 months? You got to wait. You can't get your money out for 6 months. It's like, wait, it's my money. Oh, you can get it out. Just you pay a penalty. Certain percent, and the penalty gets higher and higher in percentage when you take it out. But you didn't account for everything. Emergency fund is actually pretty simple to have on. As long as you remember in your budgeting, I don't touch it unless it's an absolute emergency. Why? Because there are things that come up that you do not know. That's why in all thy ways acknowledge him. Remember the children of Israel? After what happened at Jericho, big victory. But then one of the guys decided, ooh, I'm going to take that. Ooh, that too. My mind is in the heat of a battle. How do you have time to sit there and gold? Oh, you know, pocket it. And then how do you continue in battle when you're laid down with some of this gold? And he had some clothes too. It's like, how does this happen? How does this work? And then God, before they went up, things went bad, and they still were going to try to do things, and then it went sideways on them. Well, why? Well, because of this. You didn't trust me. And then God said, okay, so you're not going to go, and you got to, well, in the beginning, you got to wait 40 years. No, we're going to go ahead and go up on ourselves, and they lost. So it's like, you know, they didn't acknowledge God first. They made a deal with the people in the land they weren't supposed to, but the people lied to them and stuff, and they believed them. Oh, hey, our reputation goes before us, yeah. And then God says, you didn't ask my opinion. You didn't seek me in that. Because I would have told you, don't do it. Don't do it. That was a thorn in their flesh for years. Abraham didn't ask God, God, do you want me to go into Hagar and have a kid? Nope. He said, I can figure this out. Nope. In all your ways, he'll direct your paths. Okay, that's the end of our time today. But, and he'll direct your paths. Oh, that doesn't have a... Yeah, it does. Honest, it does. There have been times we've prayed about stuff, we've prayed about things. Can't figure out a way. And I'm not saying it's like a lightning bolt came down and wrote it on the wall or an invisible finger that wrote, do this. It's like something in here, the still small voice said, do that. It just clicks. Oh! So I go to approach her and she says, oh yeah, yeah. We had to do it. She had the same thing. You can call it epiphany. You can call it whatever the heck you want. All I know is that God says, on both of us, this is how it's going to work out. A lot of times it's like, okay, God, you got this. I'll trust you for it. And we'll head that direction, even though we're not sure. Why? Because it's not this life we have surety in. It's in the next life. It's not the government or the gods of this world we have surety in. It is of God that we have a surety in. And all of our machinations and all of our, you know, things we try to do and the things we try to set up like chess pieces on a board don't matter when we're facing the devil. He's a lot smarter than we are. He's that chess master. When I was younger, I thought I was pretty good at chess. Beat some people. And then finally I met this kid. He's probably a couple years younger than me. Whiz bang, I was dead. How did you do that? Oh, it's a such and such maneuver. The what? Oh yeah, there's a whole big book and all these maneuvers that you do and, you know, counteracts and stuff like this. And he had it memorized. It's like boop, boop, boop. And it's like three moves, I'm dead. It's like, that ain't fair. Almost beat him up. I was bigger than he was, but, you know, it doesn't work out the way we think it does sometimes. Because we're not hoping in God. We're not trusting in God. Gracious Heavenly